You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. Children know they are forgiven is the title of this devotion. I'm going through 1 John, and here in this part of 1 John, the Spirit of the Lord shows us three kind of categories, if I could say it that way, of spiritual growth: children, young men, and fathers. The first we're going to deal with here is children. And then we'll talk about young men and then fathers. What is the maturing? What is the growing, the spiritual maturing? And I really think that this is helpful for us because we can all sometimes get stuck in a certain area because we're slow in obtaining spiritual insight. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse, 12, 13 talks about becoming sluggish and slothful in achieving spiritual insight, whereby our senses have not been exercised by the practice of use to discriminate and to recognize that which is right and holy in God's sight and contrary to His divine nature. And so there has to be this inner development of our conscience by the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit cleansing our hearts from consciousness of sin to cause our conscience to perceive and know and recognize the Lord within ourselves, and also developing that divine attraction through Christ in us for that which is godly, and that divine resistance that cannot sin, that nature that cannot sin, that shuns all defilement and corruption. And the spiritual growth is so important for each and every one of us. And so I want you to see the first thing that John shows us is that children know they are forgiven. One of the most important lessons is that you have forgiveness with God. So look here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Again, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His namesake. And this is where the Heavenly Father ministers into us that constant consciousness that comes through the power of the cleansing flood of the blood. As the song would go, there's a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. How I love that hymn. Oh, and lose their guilty stains. And that you come into that consciousness that if God declares you not guilty, there is no power that can come and bring condemnation. If God declares you not guilty, it is like the shield of His righteousness, the breastplate of His righteousness being established in your heart and in your conscience, that no matter how much the enemy may come, the accuser of the brethren, we'll talk about later, he cannot prevail against you, because that which is in you is greater than that which is coming against you, and that is the righteousness of God in Christ. Children know their sins are forgiven. Children know they are forgiven. You know, when John the Baptist was preaching and Jesus was coming to him to be baptized by him, that John pointed him out and cried out with a loud voice, as a voice crying in the wilderness. He cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Beloved here in his letter in one place also says that Jesus Christ was made manifest to take away our sin. in the sacrifice of himself, where he became sin for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and took sin within his own body, 1 Peter 2:24, and nailed it to the cross in the spirit of his self-sacrifice, and broke the power of sin over man through that one sacrifice. He subdued, overcame, and deprived sin's power over anybody who receives that sacrifice. You see, Jesus came to break its power over us. And now, through his indwelling life, he manifests his freedom from sin. And thereby, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, John 8:31. And that spirit of freedom, 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18, comes into us with the conscious knowledge. It brings a knowledge in us that sin is no longer our master, Romans 6. We are now baptized into his death and risen with him to newness of life. And we are now born of his spirit, against whom there is no charge. These riches of grace, friends, are so important for us to learn at our initiation in Christianity. It is the birthright of anyone who receives Jesus Christ to know you are forgiven. I find this so essential, not just for myself, but in my relationship with others. How important it is that we can give what we have freely received. We can forgive as we have been forgiven. And Jesus in Mark 11:26 makes it so strong that he even says there, Mark 11:26. Let me just go ahead and read it to you. He says there, if, verse 25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I mean, you cannot keep this bread of life that you have received for yourself, lest you yourself be overcome through your own failings and weaknesses. You must share it. Jesus broke the bread and shared it and said, "This is my body broken for you." That is the whole power of communion, friends, that we share this communion we have with Christ with those around us. And if you refuse to do it, that's why many are sick and die early, because their own shortcomings come upon them, because they won't extend the grace they've received with others. Matthew 18 has some real strong teaching about this that I would encourage you to learn. But listen, dear friends, today. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 10. Listen to this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongue, they have practiced deceit. The poison of aspen is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that whatever the law says, because that's what he's quoting from, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There is no difference, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the purchase price that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So that nobody can say to God, you're not being fair by forgiving them freely because they have not been punished for their sin. Now, this teaching is so important for the Christian foundation, that at the root of our heart lies this spirit of loving gratitude, loving kindness of God. You see, the word mercy was the first revelation God gave of His glory. All have fallen short of His glory because all have sinned. And when Moses in Exodus 32, 33 asked to see God's glory, God said He would proclaim His name before him, and He proclaimed the fivefold nature of His glory, which is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding goodness and truth. The word mercy there is that Father, sympathetic mercy for lost souls. My father in 1942 was working in New York City in the Bronx, or in Brooklyn, I think, in Brooklyn. And while he was walking to work early in the morning, he saw a drunkard sleeping in the gutter, cuddling his empty bottle of alcohol. And as he walked past him, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus came so strong upon my father that he fell to his knees. And as he began to weep looking at that man, Jesus spoke to my father and said to him, John, do you realize you are no better than him? And the love of Christ for sinners filled my father's heart and called him to become a great apostle. And so, friends, that has to lie at the roots of the new birth. Children know they are forgiven. You cannot ever develop a good, healthy Christian life without it. Your Christian life will always struggle with condemnation, with guilt, with shame, with accusation against others' failings and weaknesses, unless you learn this fundamental lesson that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, and that He Himself in His own body bore the punishment that was due us. Here in Isaiah chapter 53, starting at verse 4, it says in the New English Translation, He, Jesus, endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. All the while we thought that His suffering was punishment sent by God, but because of our sins He was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment He suffered and are made whole by the blows He received. All of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going His own way, but the Lord made the punishment fall on Him, the punishment all of us deserved. He was treated harshly, but endured it humbly. He never said a word, like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a sheep about to be sheared. He never said a word. There was no charge in Him. That's why it says in Romans 8, 34 or 35, there is no charge against God's elect. It is God who justifies. There is no condemnation for this Christ who died, furthermore, who's also risen, whoever lives to intercede. Therefore, who can separate us from the love of God that we now enjoy through Jesus Christ? What is this love? That God freely declares us not guilty of sin because Jesus bore the punishment. Oh, I love that song. Sin had left for crimson stain, he washed me white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed us white as snow. So let me say this again. There is no healthy Christian growth without this being a reality, being a living experience in our initiation into Christianity. And I think that that's what always has to be the handshake of the church to any newcomer. The handshake of forgiving mercies, the handshake of reconciliation and restoration, and how good it is, especially when you are a Christian that has stumbled harshly and you've made a terrible mess of it and you are worthy of death, but there is this kind of grace. You see, it says in Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken, that means caught, he didn't come confessing, you caught him, in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, another and another, for each one shall bear his own load. Yes, without question, as that invitation comes through the offering of such merciful forgiveness, there has to be repentance. But the repentance, friends, is the weeping of gratitude and the remorse of ever having fallen away. It's kind of like Luke 15, where the prodigal said, I have sinned before God and before man. I'm not worthy to be called a son. I will go to my father and ask if I can be like his least slave, his least servant. And when he came to his father, he said, Father, I've sinned before God and before you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. And the father hugged him, kissed him, and gave him a new robe and a new ring and new shoes and prepared the fatted calf and had the whole house celebrate, because he said, my son who was lost is found, and who was dead is alive. Friends, this is what lies at the root of the true Christian life. And there is no healthy spiritual growth without this being a reality in our lives. You see, it says here, David, I think, says in Psalm 130. Well, it doesn't say it's one of David's psalms, but it says, out of the depth I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. So he's crying, oh God, I don't feel your presence. Oh God, I feel so separated. Oh God, oh God, oh God, hear me. Oh God, hear me. And sin is, it's so terrible, friends. It separates you from God. It separates you from your loved ones. It makes you ugly if you don't allow it to be cleansed away and don't repent of it, and it makes you ugly. It causes you to feel judgmental about others. It makes you hard-hearted. It makes you spiritually blind. It makes you dark in your heart. Sin takes you down and down and down. And oh my goodness, the depths of darkness are so great. And he says, from the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? If you, Lord, should take note. In other words, what he says, what I read to you from Romans 3, all of us have sinned. There's not one righteous, no, not one. None of us can look down on another and think we're better. No, no, friends. There's forgiveness, he said, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I wait for you, Lord. My soul waits, and in your word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is an abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, my dear friends, there is no healthy spiritual growth without this. And you know, when Jesus in Luke chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 11, and so many other places was worshiping the Father and saying, Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but you revealed this to babes. I never ever want to come to such a place in my Christian faith that I am not like a dear child to my Father. No, my friends, I want to always live in that sweet spirit of acceptance, of adoption, and cry, Abba, Father, by the Spirit of Christ in me, and have that sweet childlike love, Father, 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 how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, friends, there is no spiritual growth without this being the song of our heart, that the Lord loved us while we were yet sinners and demonstrated it by Christ dying for us, and that we are so grateful to be forgiven. So let me close with you out of David's famous Psalm 32. Such a beautiful psalm. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, God reconciling the world unto himself by not imputing our trespasses to us, but by making him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, dear friends, if this is not at the bottom of your relationship with God, if this is not the song of amazing grace in your heart, how great, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me, your spiritual growth will stagnate because you will fall trapped to the frustrations and irritations of other people's failings and weaknesses. And when you can no longer extend this bread of mercy to somebody else, you yourself will begin to suffer the pain of your own failings and weaknesses. The only way to live free of your own weak human nature is by extending his grace, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And David says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, listen out, and in whom spirit there is no deceit. You don't carry offenses in your heart against any man. Why not? Because you live in that loving mercy and forgiveness, and you keep on extending it to others. And so you don't have a heart with deceitful accusations in it. No, friends, we need to live in the light so that we can enjoy fellowship with one another as we're all being continuously cleansed by that blood, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And in that cleansing flood of that blood, there is no condemnation, no accusation. There's forgiveness and love. And how we need this to spiritually keep growing. Amen? Have a good day.